Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Caper.io, and I'm here today with Debbie Reynolds, the data diva and CEO of the Debbie Reynolds Consulting Agency. Good morning, Debbie. How you doing?
Oh, how are you? Thank you for having me on your show. I'm really happy to chat with you.
Oh, thank you for joining us today. What a beautiful background. That is your actual house, right?
It is, yeah.
Wow, my house is not that clean. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. So I run a data privacy and cybersecurity proactive advisory company. So I work with companies all over the world that have some type of multinational dimension or some type of data privacy issue or a potential barrier to adoption. Or maybe a lot of times I have companies that are trying to pivot into different ways of being as a result of data privacy. My technology career started in library science, and then I went on to create databases for multinational corporations that were doing data movements as it relates to legal matters. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, because of the clients I had, and because the data privacy regulations were heating up around the world, a lot of people started contacting me directly for privacy because they knew that I understood that stuff from working on that for over 20 years. So I decided to start an advisory company just for data privacy.
Oh, very nice. And now your company, Debbie Reynolds Consulting, who's your typical customer and what services do you provide for them?
Good question. So my typical customer is any customer that has any multinational dimension. So it doesn't have to be a certain size. I do big companies, small companies. A lot of times I work with companies that have some type of technology that they're trying to introduce. So like they may have, let's say they're inventing something that they want to, let's say they're a U.S. company and they're inventing something and they want to pivot into different countries. So I work with them on navigating the data privacy laws and regulations. Mm-hmm. Also help them with things like privacy by design. Also do data privacy officer work for companies. A lot of them, almost all of them, have some multinational dimension. So maybe they're in one country trying to move to another. Maybe they're in one country and they have customers in other countries. So I work with them on technology design stuff. Also kind of just navigating the legal issues and making sure that they have kind of the best proactive stance in the event that they have any type of data privacy issues to come about.
Interesting. So since you're multinational, I'm assuming GDPR has a lot to do with what you do. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because especially I have clients that have customers all over the world. So if we're moving data in and out of the EU, GDPR is definitely top of mind.
Mm-hmm. And then I think California is either just passed or is about to pass a law and similar to GDPR, correct?
Well, they have one now that's been in effect, full effect since 2020, the beginning of 2020. And then they have another one that's sort of strengthening what they already passed that goes into effect in 2023. And it is similar to the GDPR in some ways in terms of it being more consumer focused in terms of the rights of individuals. And it requires transparency from companies that handle data. And then they have like fines and penalties for companies that don't do that. Also, the new regulations going into effect in California will be even more similar to the GDPR, where California will have an agency just to handle data privacy issues with businesses.
And will that apply to California citizens only or companies that do business that are based in California, do business in California?
It'll be companies that have customers that are residents of California. Which, so that could be any company.
Pretty much every company in the U.S. Not right. All of them, you know what I mean? Any large corporation has California customers.
That's right. Yeah. So they have thresholds about the amount of revenue generated for a company. If they're a for-profit company, like I think they have $25 million worth of revenue, a certain number of customer records over a year. So it just depends on the type of company you are, the size of company you are. But I think other companies that may not where GDPR, I'm sorry, CCPA or CPRA won't necessarily apply. They're trying to align themselves with it because other states may not have laws like that, but they may eventually start adopting laws like that because California is very influential.
Yeah, generally, yeah. What I've noticed is if California passes a law, it's not too long before it reaches the rest of the bigger states, at least, right?
Right.
And since it's in California, I would assume you have some customers in Silicon Valley. Is that true?
I do. I have many customers in Silicon Valley, yes.
Yes. So, which brings us to my next topic. Since it's almost a year now, travel's pretty much been shut down. So I assume you used to travel to this part of the world fairly frequently. Is that correct?
Yeah, I used to travel all over the world. Mm-hmm. So actually, it's funny. So today is March
1st.
The 1st. And so my last international trip, I was in Costa Rica and I returned back to the U.S. last year on the 2nd of March. And I think at that point, there had only been one death from COVID in the U.S. Last March 2nd. So yeah, so I haven't done any trips since then.
Wow. So COVID had a big effect on your personal or your business travel, obviously, and I'm assuming your personal. How has it affected your business though?
Impacted my business necessarily in a bad way. The thing that I can do now that I could not do before is I do a lot of speaking, speaking engagements. So now I can actually do more speaking engagements than I could before. So last 2 weeks ago, I did three keynote addresses on three continents in the same week. So that would not have been possible.
Yeah, well, it would have been very difficult to say the least.
Right. Or I did one in Europe and one in the US on the same day. Then again, that would not have been possible either. So I'm doing more of these kind of Zoom calls or these virtual calls with people. And I feel like I'm having deeper conversations with people. So now, I don't know how you feel about it, but before COVID, when you asked someone how they were doing, it was sort of a rhetorical question, right? Yeah. Where you say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. But like now people actually answer the question, about how they're doing and stuff. So that's very different.
Yes, and sometimes you can see how they're doing by what's going on in the background, right?
That's true. Very true.
Yeah. Interesting. So were your customers, I'm assuming your customers were affected by COVID. Have you noticed that? And has it been, have your business actually increased because you actually have more time in the day since you're not on airplanes?
It has actually increased because I have more time. I have more time and I have more flexibility in my schedule. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have conference calls at 4 a.m., 2 a.m., and you just take a nap in between or whatever. But if you're traveling, it would be hard. Or, if you were, trying to commute back and forth, that would be harder. I think one of the things that happened as a result of COVID, and I don't know how you have been feeling about this, but like at the time when COVID started happening and people were trying to do these transitions, it just made, sort of the time to close sales of things, it became longer. Mm-hmm. It just took longer to get things done because people are just trying to adjust, where I feel like now people are more adjusted to the way things are now. And so things are running a bit more smoothly.
Yeah, I would agree. It, people have adjusted. And it's interesting. I think at first people were nervous. They didn't really know. I mean, some companies didn't know if they were going to be in business in 6 months, right? So they were afraid to do anything. And I think now people kind of have a feeling of what's going on. So things, I think, have gotten pretty much back to normal. So what do you think about the future of remote work? You, now that you've done it for a year, it's been a year. Yeah. March 2nd would have been a year ago when you your last year. Do you think it's here for good, or do you look forward to getting back on airplanes and traversing the world?
That's a good question. I think remote work in some facet will be around forever because a lot of things we were doing just didn't make sense if you think back to it. So, why did everyone get in the car and go to work at the exact same time and come home at the same time? It's like that makes no sense. So, why commute for an hour? You know, like we had a snowstorm here a couple weeks ago, and I thought how bad it would have been if I was at work or trying to like get home in bad weather. You're already home. I think that's definitely different. There are some companies want to go to some, like a hybrid model where people want to work in office some days. You know, it makes sense. Maybe going to have FaceTime, but I don't think that part is going to change. For travel, you know, like I said, I used to do like these day trips where I go to New York for like an hour and have a meeting, you know, lunch with someone and come back. I don't think I'll be doing any of those, but I think if I do end up doing travel, it'll be for a longer period of time. You know, to me, just the hassle factor of it, you know, it has to be something like a trip for maybe a week or more somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And you and I both live in cities notorious for bad traffic. So that is one nice thing. Have you noticed that the traffic in Chicago isn't as bad?
Yeah, the traffic is super light. I really enjoy it. And then the cool thing is, like, after this, I'll probably go to Costco. So I can, like, I can dash out in the middle of the day and do things and come back. So it just gives me a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, just something you wouldn't think about. Like, I could do laundry right now. You know what I mean? Like, I could be on the call doing laundry. So if I was at the office, I wouldn't be able to do that.
That's true. And which brings the next question up. Did you have an office before COVID? And do you still have one? And do you plan to have one going forward?
No, I work from home. So I was already working from home. So the only difference, the only change is that I'm not traveling as much. And I decided to not travel, do any international travel this year as well. Because I was supposed to be in Rome in March, actually. Wow. I decided not to go to that trip. But I definitely want to go to Rome, obviously. But it would have to be under different circumstances. And maybe, you know, maybe after people get vaccines and we get things sorted out about travel and the quarantine thing, you know, it'd be better.
Yes, I agree. And I agree with you on the part about maybe going to Costco or to meet in, you know, one of the local stores. If you go at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, there's really not a lot of people there. It's actually a pretty nice benefit, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go. You can think about how much time it would take you to traverse all the traffic and all this stuff and parking. And so being able to dart out like in the middle of the day, you do that errand like super fast.
And I also do my laundry during the day. I won't tell you if it's going on now, but I do it during the day very often.
Yeah, but I mean, that to me, that frees up because before we were trying to squish all that stuff into like a weekend. So if you can do all that stuff during the week, it gives you more time on the weekend for napping, I guess.
Yeah, to do the things you like to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like in my case, golf and hiking and things like that. How about yourself?
Yeah, totally. Like I love to go, you know, take walks and stuff, even though we had like 40 inches of snow within like 25 days. But thankfully, it's been what we call hot here. It's like in the 40s. But thankfully, most of the snow has melted now. So we can actually go out and walk without like having boots on or anything.
Yeah. And interestingly, I have a feeling Chicago's definition of hot in January is San Francisco's definition of cold.
That's right. Well, it was below freezing for about 3 weeks. So once it went over 40, we were just like, people were like practically naked outside.
I actually spent many years in the Northeast. I remember those days when it would, you know, we go up to 40, you're like, oh my God. And then you hadn't seen your neighbors in like 3 months.
Very true. So yeah, we try to, as long as it's not snowing, I try not to complain about Chicago weather. So yeah, it could be so much worse.
It could be. I've been there many times. It's a wonderful city. And you know, you just got to put up with a little wind and a little snow, mainly in December, January, February. Right after that.
That's true.
March now. So hopefully right now is when it starts to go the other way, it seems like.
Right? That's right. Yeah. It's nice. It's almost 50 today. Believe
wow. It or not. I won't tell you what it is here. So.
Yeah, don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.
But hey, hopefully you can get some trips out here next February and stay for a week and enjoy what you would call nice weather. We might call it, if it rains here, the people think it's bad. They think it's bad weather.
I love San Francisco, and the rain never bothered me. You just get a nice windbreaker or whatever, and you know,
I agree
with
you.
Keep on rolling.
I still do not own a winter coat after 21 years here. And today's the 25th year, 21st anniversary of when I moved here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like San Francisco weather. When it gets cool, it's like more brisk. So mm-hmm. it's like sort of windbreaker weather, which is nice. You have like a light jacket to run around. But in Chicago, as you know, you need more gear. You know, stuff that you got to go to a specialty store probably to buy because it does get cold here. But if you dress properly, you'll be fine here.
I agree. Well, Debbie, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. I've met divas, but I've never met a data diva. So it's cool to meet a technical diva. Definitely much different than what you consider the Hollywood diva, right?
That's true. Yeah, a diva is actually helpful. So that's what I am.
So, well, thanks again and have a great week.
Thank you so much. And you too.
All right. Bye.